Tim and Alec Release Remembrance Podcast. For Remembrance this year, our member engagement and military lead, Tim Eckersley, has recorded a podcast with a very special member. Second World War veteran Alec Penstone, who's 98, served on the treacherous Arctic convoys during the war. He shares his incredible experiences with Tim over three riveting parts, starting with life as a teenage ARP messenger in London before joining the convoys, where he saved lives in a Force 15 hurricane and took part in D-Day. Tim was overjoyed to interview Alec for the podcast. He said Remembrance is the most important date in the Blind Veterans UK calendar, so I was over the moon to have the chance to interview such an amazing fellow Navy veteran to mark this special anniversary. Chatting to Alec was an absolute honour. He's an unstoppable force and his stories are mind-blowing. I hope you all enjoy listening to him as much as I did. And you can listen to all three parts of this special podcast, Surviving the Arctic Convoys, at blindveterans.org.uk/Alec, where you can also read the transcripts. My 10.5 Arctic Convoys. Alec has written a book about his amazing life with the help of his friends. The book, My 10.5 Arctic Convoys, is self-published and costs £16 plus £4 postage and packing. In this article, we share a heartwarming extract in which he describes a wonderful chance encounter one Christmas Eve during leave after his first convoy in 1943. There is also a DVD of Alec discussing his war experiences available for £12 plus P&P, which you can order on a memory stick or CD for £7.99 plus postage and packing. To buy the book, DVD, memory stick or CD, please email James King, or one word, lowercase, jamesking21@sky.com. Meeting Gladys. In this extract from his memoirs, Arctic Convoys veteran Alec Penstone describes a wonderful chance encounter while on leave at Christmas, aged 18. He was given 7 days leave just before Christmas 1943. I had nowhere to go for Christmas dinner, so I went to see my aunt. Her two sons were in the Navy as well. I wanted to see if I could scrounge a Christmas dinner, as my mother, brother and my niece had been evacuated to Darlington. My aunt said she couldn't give me Christmas dinner as she was sharing it with two other neighbours and there was no spare food. While I was there, a young lady came in and introduced herself as my cousin Alf's fiancée. They were going to get married on his next long leave. He was on minesweepers out of Harwich at the time. It was getting late in the afternoon, so I offered to walk her home. She invited me to come in and meet the family. I went in and there was this gorgeous 17-year-old younger sister, Gladys. She was absolutely beautiful. It was love at first sight. I stayed there until the early hours of Christmas morning talking to her. She was opening in pantomime on Boxing Day at the Alexander Theatre in Stoke Newington. I asked if I could take her to the theatre and she agreed. I said goodnight to her in the early hours of Christmas morning. I took the chance to say, "There's no mistletoe, but can I give you a Christmas kiss?" To which she said, "If you want to," so I did. I had agreed to meet her on Boxing Day, and so Christmas Day could not go fast enough. It was the only time of my life that time dragged most slowly. I didn't get Christmas dinner, and I had to go to a restaurant and had spam and chips instead. On Boxing Day, I was up early, washed and dressed in my number ones, my naval dress uniform. I opened the front door and there was a thick, thick London smog, yellow, sulphurous, horrible fog. I went out and found my way to her house, only to be told she had already left with some of the girls of her dance troupe. They told me where the theatre was. I had to walk about 3 miles because there were no buses. I got to the theatre, and when they had to break, Gladys came to find me. There was a Greasy Spoon cafe on the other side of the road, and we had our first meal together, which once again was spam and chips. For the next 4 nights, I was a stage door Johnny. I took her there in the morning and brought her back at night. On the day before I was due to go back to Dunoon, Gladys had got me a ticket for the show. During one of the scenes, a spotlight came on from the stage. It started searching around the audience above my head, went up into the gallery, all the way down, and finally settled on me. I thought, what on earth is happening? Then this group of lovely young ladies appeared from the centre stage and moved over to where I was sitting. They all got down on one knee and started singing a song, "Sailor, Who Are You Dreaming Of Tonight?" They sang it all the way through. I was getting lower and lower in my seat because of the embarrassment, and I just could not understand what was happening. They finished singing and the lights came on in the theatre and everyone started cheering. I just wanted to disappear underneath the seat, but I was told to stand up and take a bow. Oh dear. It was a wonderful experience. From then on, we wrote to each other regularly. She was the only girlfriend I ever had. 2 years later, we were married.